Welcome everyone, let's make a start. And can I say a particular welcome to the wives who are with us today for our Families Day. You're very welcome with us. And if we hear noises off, that might be Isaac, who's Ali's baby. Ali and Isaac are here today. Ali was our administrator until last September, so it'll be good to welcome her back as well. And as well as being our Families Day, today is our annual vision meeting, where we're taking stock of what we do here on Tuesday lunchtimes and at other times during the week and why, and looking ahead to plans for the next year or two. So if you're a guest or a visitor this lunchtime, you're very welcome, but today is really intended for those who are committed to Christian things and to the work of St. Botolph's. So you're very welcome here. Forgive us if today seems a little bit less relevant. If you want to slip away and come back next week, that's entirely up to you. The first half of our time together this lunchtime, we're going to remind ourselves of why we're here. It can be easy, I think, to slip into being part of Tuesday lunchtimes without quite remembering what the purpose of these talks is. So before I give a few thoughts from Acts, why don't you just turn to those around you and introduce yourself if you need to, and maybe just discuss for a couple of minutes that question at the top of the handout: what's the purpose of the lunchtime talks? Let's come back together, shall we? And I'm not going to take feedback on those discussions, but if what I'm going to suggest now is wildly different to the answers that you came up with, then do speak to me or to Simon afterwards. And we can talk that through. When the Apostle Paul gave his farewell speech to the elders from Ephesus, which is recorded in Acts 20, he said this. It's actually there on your sheet. He said, "I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." That's Paul's pattern of ministry, and I think he intended it partly as a model for us. Speaking the word of God publicly and from house to house. Now, I think the house to house element in our context here in the city probably translates, doesn't it, as workplace to workplace or desk to desk, water cooler to water cooler, I guess. That private element of speaking about the Lord Jesus one to one or in small groups is why we run Christianity Explored and partnership groups here, and why we encourage people to be involved with workplace fellowships, where there are workplace fellowships in your office. But Paul isn't satisfied with just speaking about Jesus behind closed doors. There's an essential public element to his ministry too. Now, in some places, the apostles spoke the word publicly in synagogues or in the temple in Jerusalem. Those public religious forums for debate with those who don't yet follow Jesus, and maybe not as obvious to us in the city today. In some places, Paul spoke in the street or in marketplaces. Again, maybe I'm being cowardly, but I'm not sure that that sort of ministry is as culturally normal and therefore effective today as maybe it was in the first century, particularly in the city, I guess. In Ephesus, among the people that Paul was speaking to when he said Acts 20:20, his public ministry looked different. We're told about it in the second quotation there on your sheet. Paul took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Paul's pattern, starting with a small group of maybe no more than a dozen, was to start holding public meetings in a lecture hall. Now, despite the religious trappings of this building, to us it's just a convenient shelter, a convenient hall to speak about Jesus in the same way. Public teaching of the message about Jesus so that people will come to know him and to grow in their discipleship. That's what we're trying to do here week by week on a Tuesday lunchtime. And notice the effect of Paul's public ministry in Ephesus, just in the next line there. "This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord." Within a couple of years, maybe 1 million people heard the Christian message. Isn't that amazing? The impact of that simple ministry of throwing the doors open and speaking about Jesus was massive. If God would choose to do just 1% through the Aldersgate talks of what he did through Paul's Ephesus talks, that would mean that over the next 2 years, 10,000 people here in the city would hear the word of Jesus. Now, I take it we're not to think that there were 1 million people attending the Ephesus talks all at once. Presumably, some people came to the talks themselves, but then they went back to their homes and their villages and their workplaces and told people what they had heard. When I worked for another lunchtime ministry like this one in the past, there was a chap there who would come along every week and took notes on the talk. He tried inviting his colleagues along with him, but they'd always refused to come. But they did ask him when he got back to the office what he'd been taught. They'd swing their chairs around and they'd say, "So what have you been hearing this lunchtime?" And he would take them through the notes from the talk. And so the word of the Lord went out in that workplace. Maybe the same will be true for you. So our aim, like Paul's, is to speak about Jesus publicly and from house to house or workplace to workplace. We pray that as you come to hear the word of the Lord each Tuesday lunchtime, then you'll take it back to your workplaces, that people will notice that you come here each week and start to ask you about it, that the public teaching here will be fuel for those private conversations that go on behind closed doors, which Simon or Ruth or I can't access, but you can. That's why we put on these Tuesday talks, so that Christians would be encouraged to live as Christians, especially in their workplaces, and so that those who aren't yet Christians will get to hear the message of the Bible, either by coming here themselves or hearing the message on the lips of those who take it back to their offices with them. We're not just trying to add to the commitments that busy Christians already have in their weekly schedule. We're not trying to rival your Sunday church. In fact, we don't want to be main church for anyone. But we do want to do what we can to get the word of the Lord among the people that you're working with and rubbing shoulders with day by day, so that the kingdom of Jesus Christ would grow and flourish through the city and far beyond. Now, I'd like us just to get a taste of how that can happen by glimpsing what God has been doing over these past 10 years or so in one workplace in the area at Schroeder's, just down the road in Gresham Street. So I'm going to ask Lizette and Michael to come and join me at the front here. And as they do that, let me tell you that the group, the Christian group at Schroeder's, was started by another of our regulars, Ben Stone, who arrived at Schroeder's about 12 years ago, I think, having been a Christian for just a month when he arrived. He asked around and over time found a few other Christians, got them to meet together, and started to invite them along here on Tuesday lunchtimes as well. And Lizette, why don't you take it up from there and tell us, now you weren't a Christian when you started at Schroeder's, were you?
No.
What happened?
Very against all forms of religion, especially Christianity. I had a lot of misconceptions about what Christianity was. I thought it was a lot about rules. And I thought people only actually went to church because the parents told them to. I didn't think they actually believed in what they were hearing. I didn't see the relevance of God in my life, and the whole idea of Christianity made me very cross. But I had a friend who I thought the world of, sitting over there, that was a Christian.
Who you're now married to.
I'm now married to. Kind of gives you a bit of a taste of the answer. It was a Christian, and it made me really confused because he's a normal, intelligent, handsome, sensible chap. But he prayed and he went to church and he was a very committed Christian. And I didn't understand why he was a Christian. And I was telling a friend at Schroeder's, who was part of this Christian group, and he suggested I should go to the CE course and do it here, and that all my questions, I could ask all my questions and they would be answered. But really, I went along for a bit of an argument. And through studying the Bible on the course, it helped me see that Christianity isn't about rules or traditions, but it's actually about a relationship with God, about who he is and how he relates to us and what he did for us. And the poor guy leading the course, you might remember Christovit, He was very patient as I argued every week about what he was saying. And I realised really that I'd been blindly rejecting God with my own ideas about who he was. And I became a Christian, sat just over there, when I realised that my ideas of what I wanted in the world and what I wanted God to be like just didn't matter. And if the Bible was true, it was true. So I could either accept him or reject him, but not ignore him.
Lizette, thank you for sharing that. That's really encouraging. And now, I mean, you'll see Lizette here week by week sitting on her own at the back, which isn't because she doesn't get on with people, but because she records the talks for us each week. And you're one of the leaders now of the Christian group at Schroeder's, aren't you?
Yeah.
Which I think is a great story and encouragement to us. Michael, you come forward. And you've done the Christianity Explore course more recently. It was a year or so ago, wasn't it? Just tell us why you wanted to do Christianity Explored.
I was slightly more interested in background of my faith. I mean, I come from a strong Catholic background, but I hadn't been confirmed. I was going to get married in the upcoming future. I was thinking about that. I just wanted to reach a point where I either decided to pick up my faith properly and not sit on the fence or just drop it altogether. So I needed to make an informed decision.
That's great. And you're going ahead and being confirmed at Easter and getting married in May.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
So that's great. So what difference did Christianity Explored make for you?
Up until then, all my education was just a one-way street, not asking any questions, just being told what to think and what to believe. And I just wanted to pursue it a bit more and get more grounding. And by practice, like everything else I do in life, just become better at understanding what was going on. I mean, for my godchildren, for my future wife, and for myself.
That's great. And you've been part of one of the men's partnership groups each Friday lunchtime over this past, since Christianity Explored, really, haven't you? What have you got out of the partnership group? Answer carefully.
Okay.
Because I co-lead it.
Okay. Well, apart from meeting more people from the parish and the local workplaces, it's just helps draw parallels for me between Old Testament and New Testament and joins up all the dots. I mean, every time I go, you can go over the same passages and understand more about what the Scripture and the Bible is teaching and relay that to current life. And it started to change my priorities in life a little bit and where I place God, basically.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, both of you, for sharing with us.
Thank you.
It's surprisingly nerve-wracking to come up the front and share your experience. Do encourage Lizette and Michael afterwards, and I'm sure they'd be happy to tell you more about how they came to where they are now. The thing I find really striking, I was talking to Ben, who I mentioned started the Christian group a dozen years or so ago at Schroeder's, is that he doesn't know Michael. And so actually something that started with initiative with a very young believer some time ago can lead a couple of Christian generations further on to someone completely different coming to grow in the faith. And so hopefully that's an encouragement to you. It's our hope and prayer that God will replicate doing that sort of thing in many workplaces around this area, as I know he is doing in some already, and that he might use the Aldersgate talks as a public element of that essential public and private work of speaking about the Lord Jesus and people growing in knowing him. So I'm going to hand over to Simon now. He's going to tell us in a bit more detail what's been going on here and what's planned for the future.
Richard, thanks very much indeed. I want to talk, if I may, about money and about staffing and about associates. So then hopefully we'll have time for questions at the end, and then we'll pray, and then those who need to rush off can rush off back to their offices. Those who can stay around, as usual, there's lunch from the tables at the side. Let me say something about money. If you've been coming to the Aldersgate Talks for some time, then you'll know that we have no sort of historic resources or anything like that of our own. We don't receive money from other churches. The only money that we have is the money that you, the regulars, give us. Now, we aim to communicate the financial needs of the Aldersgate Talks through our vision day like this, but also on the back of the programme cards and on the newsletters, you'll see occasional updates from our treasurer with financial news on that. Generally speaking, we work on the principle, I think, that it's healthy for any Christian work if lots of people are involved in giving, rather than just one or two people giving really large amounts. So one of the things we encourage very strongly is everyone who feels they benefit from the ministry here to be giving, and to be giving tax efficiently. And wonderfully, I think it's fair to say the number of givers has increased over the last few years, which we're grateful for. But regulars will also know that over the last couple of years, we have been hit by our own credit crunch, so to speak. And while we've tried to reduce our own costs and increase giving, we have now, just the last few months or so, hit the point really where we've hit our reserves. So we can't dip into our reserves anymore. We're a charity, and so we have to have some money in reserve by charity law, which means we now need to cut our costs further. So that's money. Let me say something about staffing, because our largest costs are the staff team. Back in September, when Ali Bush, our administrator, left, and as Richard said, it's been lovely to have her back here today. She left to have a baby, and we took the decision then not to replace her with someone else. Now, that's had a knock-on effect for both Richard and Ruth, in that they have both had to take up some of the administration that she was doing, and therefore have less time for ministry. However, we are still looking at a deficit of this year of around £12,000. And that has meant that the Church Council has had to take some hard decisions, and in particular, and very reluctantly, we've decided that we cannot afford to keep Ruth on as our women's worker beyond the summer. Many of you know that Ruth is involved both here at the Aldersgate Talks and also at the Moorgate Lunchtime Talks, which we started a year or so ago. Ruth has been on the staff for 5 years. She's done a terrific job encouraging the women's ministry and encouraging women in the workplace. And certainly one of the concerns of the Church Council in making this decision is the impact which it will have on women's ministry in the future. So we're still keen. We'd love to employ a women's worker again in the future, but we are unable to do so at the moment. And obviously do pray for Ruth as she considers other ministry options from the summer. Let me say something about associates. Many of you will know that I just spend a quarter of my time here. I'm also involved in leading another church in South London, in Dulwich, where we live, which means that once Ruth has left, the burden of the work both here and at Moorgate will fall on Richard. And if we simply, I think, leave things as they are, just in terms of the staff team, once Ruth has left, it will mean that Richard will spend a lot of time doing admin and sort of public preaching like this on a Tuesday and on a Wednesday at Moorgate, but actually he won't have time to do a lot of the other ministry which he's also involved in during the week, so helping with Christianity Explore courses, helping with the partnership groups, helping in a whole variety of ways, discipling new Christians and so on. And therefore, as a church council, we've decided to try and encourage people to work for the Aldersgate Talks, and the Moorgate Talks are doing exactly the same thing, as what we called associates from the summer. And these will be part-time roles to help run Christianity Explore courses, to help run Bible studies, to be meeting up to disciple people, and to help with the administration of both the Aldersgate Talks and the Moorgate Talks, and also to help in a variety of practical ways. Now, depending on the amount of time they might give, we might have perhaps two associates here and two associates at Moorgate. I think it's the kind of role which would suit someone who perhaps is thinking about, in the kind of more medium term, full-time Christian ministry. It'd be a brilliant training role to spend some time here in ministry before heading off to do something else. Or the kind of job which perhaps would suit someone who is able to reduce the number of days they're working from, say, 5 days to 4 days, and then to spend that extra day working with us here, or perhaps a spouse who is able to give us half a day a week to help with our administration, or perhaps someone who is able to retire early. Now, these roles are part-time, so they could be combined with further ministry training, for example, at St. Helen's Bishopsgate, where we have closed links. They are happy for us to send people on their ministry training course if people would like to do that. Now, these are not paid roles, but we would like to be able to offer for people financial assistance, perhaps by way of training, or to contribute to living costs. And for that reason, one of the things we'd like to do is to set up a kind of bursary fund to support associates and ministry trainees. Now, this is going to be a separate fund within our accounts. At the moment, we are simply asking for pledges to the fund in addition to existing giving. We don't want to sort of detract from existing giving. If you're interested in this, if you'd like to pledge to it, you'll see on the bottom of the sheet you were given as you came in, there's a form you can fill in and a box that you can tick. We won't be calling on those pledges until we have appointed associates, until there is a need. But we'd love to establish a fund of, say, £10,000, so that in the event of having associates, then we can offer to pay, say, to help with their further training, ministry training, or living costs or accommodation, or whatever it is. And it's just worth saying that the thinking behind this fund is simply to establish it for this year, and then in future years, we'll budget for this kind of expenditure in our regular budget. But we're not able to do that for this year, simply because we're having to pare down our costs so much this year. Well, let me summarise, and then we'll have time for questions and to pray. Please, will you review your giving if you're someone who benefits from these talks, and if you haven't done so for a while. There are giving forms on the welcome table by the door as you go out, partnering in the work financially. If you haven't picked up one of those recently, then do pick up one of those. And do consider giving to the Aldersgate talks as much as you would to your home church if you're involved there. Just think of the amount of time that many of us spend in the working environment, and do consider matching with your home church. Secondly, do fill in the bursary form if you're able to do that, to top up your existing giving. Speak to me if you might be interested in the associate role yourself, or if you know someone who might be, or a spouse who might be, or someone from a home church or whatever, who might be interested. And then please pray that the Lord would bring the right people to us for these roles. I think there's a terrific potential in having a couple of people working here, a couple of people at Moorgate. We're saying very similar things to the Moorgate talks as we are here this lunchtime. And then do be praying that the Lord would provide the money that we need. Now, anyone got any questions, either from things that I've said or things that Richard said earlier? You want to ask a question? Conscious you might want to ask questions just sort of individually, but if you want to ask a public question, something perhaps to clarify what I've said. No? Okay. Well, look, do come and ask me afterwards, or speak to Richard afterwards if you'd like to know more about anything which we said. Can I suggest we spend our last 2 or 3 minutes praying? It'd be good to give thanks, wouldn't it, for the talks here. And it's wonderful to hear from Lizette earlier on, and also from Michael earlier on. And there'll be many similar stories, won't there, in this building this lunchtime, which replicate what they said. So why don't we just turn perhaps in those twos and threes we were in earlier and pray, and then I'll call us to a close in 2 or 3 minutes or so. Let's pray together.